And, you know, just like we follow someone on Instagram or Twitter, we read their posts, we view their photographs, we follow them, we learn about them, we see what they're up to, we learn about their lives. And so for us, reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the first few books of the New Testament, is a brilliant way to start in how we can learn about Jesus, his life, how he spent his time, what did he teach, how did he treat people, who he spent his time with, and what he spent his time doing. What are the things that really aggravated him? What did he say about money and relationships and life? You know, I often wonder what Jesus would be doing if he was here in the flesh walking on the earth today. You know, sometimes I think, well, would he live in Swansea? If he lived in Swansea, would he have a mortgage, or would he rent, or would he just live with people, you know, every few months? And I think, would he drive a car? Would he use public transport? Would he have a Twitter account? Would he use Instagram? You know, you just think, well, 2,000 years on, you know, time has changed. I wonder what Jesus would sort of do. Would he go to university, or would he have had an apprenticeship? And you can just imagine, couldn't you, like, Jesus and some of his disciples, you know, maybe had a Twitter account, and they were like, right, okay, tomorrow, Penland playing fields, Jesus, the next installment of the stories, you know, click. And instantly that goes to like thousands upon thousands of people, and then people flock and they come to hear Jesus. But with Swansea weather, maybe he would use the Liberty Stadium or the Brangwyn Hall. And then you think, well, I wonder if he would have to pay for that. You know, I just sometimes think, silly really, but I just can't help but think, if Jesus was here today in the flesh, walking the earth, here in Swansea, wonder, you know, what he would be doing, where he would stay, what he'd wear, and all of these things. But what were his main commands to his followers? Well, we see in the Bible, through lots of scriptures, I'm not going to read them all out. Let me think now, what have I got here? Oh, my first time I've done this. all this technology is great, isn't it? Really exciting. Oh, okay. Right, so what were his main commands to his followers? Well, in Matthew, and John and Matthew, again, we're going to read a few of the scriptures. But first of all, it says, love and obey God. He also commanded to love and obey me. Jesus said, love and obey me. He also taught about loving one another, forgiving one another, believe I am who I claim to be, and have faith, and go into all the world and tell others about me. They were basically, in a nutshell, the main commands Jesus gave to his followers. And it's good for us to refresh ourselves with these main teachings and these main commands, because it does help us build our faith and to be refreshed in our walk with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, secondly, is to obey. Now, obey can sometimes come across as like a heavy word, obedience. You know, we sort of think of parenting and that type of thing when we look at the word obedience. But really, obedience is the essence of the Christian faith. We show our love to Jesus by obeying him. In John 14:15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when we look at Jesus' life, Jesus was obedient to the Father. He was obedient by taking up the cross, and we too can live obedient lives. Not that we will always find it easy or do it perfectly, but that our heart's desire is to obey what Jesus asks of us. Have an obedient heart. Because what is the opposite of obedience? It's disobedience, isn't it? And that is sort of rooted in rebellion. And rebellion is like a really big no-no when we read about it in the Bible. So disobedience to God and those in God's authority over us can really block the joy and the blessing and the inner peace which God desires for us. Disobedience is caused by rebellion. The Greek word for obey is hypakou, which means to listen attentively and to conform to a command or authority. And God absolutely loves it when we obey him, just like a parent absolutely loves it when their child obeys them, because it just makes life so much easier. Everyone is happy, and it is such a joy. I've got a dog, a golden Labrador, and when I walk him, he's a lovely natured dog, but he's very strong-willed. And if he sees another dog, he will pull on his lead, and no matter how much I say, sit, heel, obey, he is disobedient, and it's annoying, and it makes me cross, and he tears my arm off. And the other day, he picked up a scent going around, because dogs pick up scents of like foxes and rabbits and other dogs. And he was like this one-track mind, I've got a scent, so I'm going to pull, and I'm going to get to wherever this scent leads me. And in the process, he bumped his head on a tree, because he didn't bother looking up, he was just nose to the ground. On another occasion, he's walked into a bin. And another occasion, he's walked into a lamppost. And so, you know, he is like this one-tracked mind, being disobedient. And then there are consequences for his disobedience. And I know, as his owner, that the reason I want him to obey and not pull is because if he ran off and saw that other dog that he so eagerly wants to get to, he'll get run over or hit by a bus. Or if he, you know, pulls because he sees somebody he really wants to go and sniff and see and say hello to, it's because that other dog might be nasty and might bite his ear off. So as an owner, I know that the reason I want him to be obedient is for his own good and because there are consequences to his disobedience. Not that we are like dogs and God is like Gottes and a noose. That's a terrible illustration. But the point is, God loves it when we are obedient. And he does take disobedience seriously. And when we look through the Bible from, you know, Adam and Eve through the Israelites' journey, there are always consequences. And you know, it's because God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay as we are. And if we find ourselves in an area of disobedience, he wants us to be free and happy. And he disciplines us sometimes as a sign of his love for us and his desire for us to come back to him as a way to remind us of what life is like when we make ourselves gods over our own life. And that is so helpful for us. And it's not easy being obedient, particularly if we have a strong-willed personality. And I've seen this in many situations when a person has had like a really, like a rebellious heart or a disobedient heart. And say, for example, in a team environment, in a working place, like in an office. I've just had this experience quite recently where as a team, there's always that one person who's just pulling against things, who's always disobeying or going against the will of the people in authority. And it just causes a real tension and a bad vibe in the workplace. And then this particular person has left now because they couldn't have their own way and different things. And now everything's like happy again. And so we've all got those people in our workplaces or on our street or in the sort of places that we hang out where we see the consequences of somebody who has a rebellious spirit and who find it very difficult to come under authority and to have an obedient heart. It's the essence of our Christian faith. And as a follower of Jesus, it's good to cultivate that obedient heart and obedient spirit because God wants the best for us and he knows what's ahead when we disobey. It's for our own good. Okay, thirdly, to be a true follower of Jesus is to respond. Is to respond, is to live a life that is responsive to Jesus, to his Holy Spirit, to his word. To be responsive when the Holy Spirit is perhaps prompting us to say something or go to that person or pray for that person or do something that God wants us to do. It's to have that responsive heart and mind that we are open. And I love this because when we read in the New Testament the accounts of when Jesus went and sort of drew his first followers to him, we can read this in Matthew and Mark. When we think of James and John, the fishermen, and Simon and Andrew, the fishermen, and Matthew and Levi, the tax collectors, I love this because these are like ordinary men just going about their day to day. And then Jesus passes by and says, come, follow me. And it says, immediately left their nets. They immediately left their booth or their boat. And they responded and followed him. And for some of us, we may have to leave things behind. They may be habitual habits or unhealthy relationships that when we come to follow Jesus, we may have to leave them behind. You know, the first disciples, they didn't know what it would entail by abandoning everything and following Jesus. You know, it seems that they had had enough with life as they knew it, and that they knew that there was something more. They must have seen pure love and acceptance in Jesus' eyes. And for me, I think going back when I first sort of got to know Jesus at the age of 9, I think that's what drew me the most, was God's acceptance and the pure love that he was able to offer. And I think for all of us here, you know, we're designed and wired to receive love and to be accepted. And in our world today, it can be a harsh world. And sometimes we don't find that love or acceptance, no matter where we look or where we try to find it. But I think, you know, when we become a true follower of Jesus, when we actually say, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, help me to follow you and to live a life with you in control, that is the first thing that draws us, is his pure love and the acceptance that he gives to us. And I suppose when his love filled their hearts, you know, the first disciples, they were irresistibly drawn to him because he had like this dynamic power of love. And that probably motivated them to leave everything, abandon their lives as they knew it, and just to follow Jesus. In 1 John 35-49, it talks about those that the Spirit of God touches when he speaks to them hear and respond to his call without question. Respond to a challenge from a talk on a Sunday or something you're reading or listening to. It's good to cultivate a responsive sort of attitude and heart. In small groups on Tuesday, after Matthew spoke last week, it was a brilliant talk on the Lady of Samaria and how Jesus was interacted with her and how he was on his way and he had time for this woman, and this woman saw in Jesus, like, this guy knows everything about me, truly he must be the Messiah. And so on the Tuesday night, Fliss and Charlotte, two of the girls in our small group, created opportunity for us to kind of consider what we'd heard on Sunday and did some really creative stuff that enabled us to actually write down our thoughts, where we felt God was challenging us, where we felt God was leading us. And it was good not to just let Sunday wash by and then next Sunday comes and that washes by and weekends come and go and everything rolls along, but it's to really take on board some of those things that we feel we need to respond to, you know, with what God would be saying to us personally, whether it's encouraging us, challenging us, inspiring us to do something new. And it's good to create that space in our lives where we actually respond to Jesus. And finally, do. So to become a true follower of Jesus, it's to do. Do the things which he has called us to do. In John 5:19, it says, whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does. And in Matthew, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, as Matthew said last week about shining your light in the places God has put you in, I would encourage you the same this week. Shine your light in the places God has placed you in and opened up for you. Pray for those people. Hold back from that gossip. Help in that situation, even when it's not convenient. Get alongside that friend or colleague or family member. Tell people about events, and tell people, most importantly, about your personal story and journey, because that's what people respond to the most. It's realness. It's real life. It's how, well, if God is real, how has it changed that person's life? And people really respond to our true stories. And to use social media appropriately. Now, I didn't really like using Facebook and stuff several years ago, but I have found over the years, if I post a picture of a church event, that it goes to a lot of people I would normally see in a week, and sometimes you never know, those people might come. Now, going back years ago, when my little children were in school, and I was up and down the school with a buggy day in, day, morning, afternoon, and night, it seemed, I would be so over-enthusiastic. I'd always have literature in my baby bag or my pocket, and I'd always be shoving it in people's face. Oh, come to this event, come to this praise party, come to this, come to that. And I think sometimes some people would probably go, here she goes, what's she doing now? And but I found with Facebook, if you're not like shoving it in people's face every 2 minutes, and you're posting events and posting, come along this Sunday, we've got this, that, the other. Last year in Penland, 3 families turned up who we've built relationships with over the years and invited to things but never really came. And on this particular day, I can't remember what it was, it might have been a Father's Day event or an Easter thing, 3 families came and I was running around Fortunato. Oh, look, so here, so exciting, they've come at last, hooray. And it's great because people get to know that it's not a weird church, we're not weird people, we're just normal human beings, we're forgiven and have this great relationship with Jesus. And hopefully, you know, by coming along and meeting you and experiencing, you know, the good meetings that we, you know, we're putting on, that they will find Jesus for themselves. That is the purpose. That's why we invite people, isn't it, to events. It's not just to fill seats. It's for people to find that relationship with Jesus for themselves, that they would know peace, forgiveness, and the hope and destiny of heaven after this life ends here on earth. And so that is what motivates us to go into all the world and tell others about me, he says. And Angela and Sarinda, who are small group leaders here in the church, they've done a great job over the years of cultivating relationships with people, befriending people and organising, you know, get-togethers, going for coffee, going for meals, inviting to events and that type of thing. And they've really been persistent in that. And over the years, we've seen some of their friends come along and really enjoy and get to hear about God, and that's really good. And so I really would encourage you this morning to just keep on doing those things. Keep on building relationships with people, inviting people, use social media appropriately. And as I was praying today, about today, God clearly gave me these 4 points. Learn, can't remember them now. Learn, obey, respond and do. And when I was thinking about it, those 4 points made the word Lord. And when you think about the word Lord, it's a really old-fashioned name, isn't it? It's an old-fashioned word. We think Lord of the Manor, and we think of Downton Abbey and that sort of era, and we think of lords and ladies at formal occasions. But what does the word Lord mean? I thought, well, what does Lord mean? When we pray, it's like, dear Lord. And what does Lord mean? Well, it's a Hebrew name for God, for Yahweh, the God of Israel. And its original sort of text is, it's the divine name for God as master or boss or ruler. And I just thought that was interesting because at the end of the day, to be a true follower of Jesus is to make him Lord, ruler, father, boss, master over all our lives. That's what it is ultimately about. And so when we have received his love and his forgiveness and we've really experienced his goodness and we've surrendered to his authority, we can really take comfort in knowing him as Lord over all our lives. And I think as human beings, we can really take a sigh of relief in that, because whatever happens to us, we know that Jesus is Lord over our lives when we have committed our lives to him, and that this earth we're passing through and ultimately we are going to be with him forever. And so to be a true follower of Jesus is to ultimately allow him that access to be Lord over every decision, every circumstance, every choice, and over all of your lives. So to sum up today, the foundation, if you're thinking like, well, is church, what is church about? Is Jesus real? Alpha's a great place to come along and start that journey with a group of like-minded people who are all on that journey together, with people who've been on that journey a long time, who can really help you discover and answer some of those questions. And so to be a true follower of Jesus is putting that foundation stone in place in your life. And that is by giving your life to God, experiencing him personally for yourself, inviting him into your life to forgive you of your past, forgive you of the wrongdoings, the things we just do sometimes that's just silly and daft and hurt people. And, you know, to really accept Jesus into our lives and to say, lead me, be with me, help me in all of my decisions. And by faith, we receive his Holy Spirit into our lives. But we know that every day we are never alone. We're never alone in this earth when we have become a true follower of Jesus. And so learn about Jesus, put into practice his teachings, be obedient to his will for us, respond when we hear him challenging us or drawing us to a new venture, or simply by just going and saying something to that person, and doing all that he requires of us through serving and ultimately through telling others about him. Okay, shall we pray? Jesus, I thank you that you are so real. You're alive and you're here and you love people And for those of us who've been following you for a long time, not doing it perfectly, not finding it easy sometimes, but we are here and we ask you to fill our hearts afresh with your Holy Spirit, to empower us to live a responsive life to you and to tell others about you. And for those here today who are just pondering, just thinking, just considering, maybe even a little confused, I just pray, Jesus, right now, you would come and reveal your plan and your heart to these people, that you would pour in the power of your love, that they would sense your acceptance and know that you are available, Lord. Just come now by your Spirit, I pray. Fill us afresh this morning. Jesus, just come now. Bless your people. Draw those who are not far away into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.